Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Our guest today is Gary Epler. He's the CEO of Epler Health Incorporated down in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Gary, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here. Good to hear your voice, David.
Thank you so much. Hey, you know, we're going to be talking today about how to effectively compete in today's demanding business environment. I'm your host, David Chulo, here on the HR Power Hour. Gary, talk to us a little bit about, about who you are and what you're all about and what kind of gives you the, as we say, the cred to be talking about this great topic.
Okay. Well, I'm Gary Epler, and down here in Boston, and I'm a physician, a pulmonary critical care doctor over at the Brigham and Women's Hospital. And from this perspective of seeing patients for years and helping them out and trying to get them back into working order, I've learned a lot about health, fitness, and nutrition. And specifically, what it takes to compete, really, in today's business environment, as you mentioned.
Okay, so, you know, management, or we say leadership in this sense, from a business standpoint, is an interesting conversation to start with. And there are so many different type of businesses and so many different types of leaders. What's so different today in today's environment versus maybe the even 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, the main difference there are two huge requirements for effective leadership and actually to live an enjoyable life. The first one is you need a ton of energy. I call it level 10 energy, but you just need a lot of energy. And the second thing, I call it people-centered lifestyle. And that's what's really changed over the past several years. It's not about ourselves, David. when we're in a social situation, it's always about the other person.
Well, that's great to say, but most people think about themselves.
That's right. We have to think about, number one, we're number one. There's no question. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to do everything possible to take care of ourselves, keep us in high running order. There's no question. That is so important, more important than ever. But in a social setting, it's always about the other person.
So are you talking about getting them engaged in a conversation? Are you talking about engaging them in business? Give us give me an overview of that.
Well, it's what I consider for this type of, I call it a lifestyle. There's five components of well-being, and you need to maximize these five components. And then there's 10 health practices that I've developed that you also need to maximize. You maximize those 15 elements, life's going to be good. There's no question about it. And we can talk about those well-being elements at first.
Sure. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what the five, obviously those five people-centered elements are.
Sure. The first issue about well-being, that's an interesting term. It sounds kind of a boring term, but it turns out that is the single best measure of how people's lives are doing. How are you doing? It's your well-being, and it's a measure that's used all over the world. And these five components, the first one is just happiness. How happy are people? And that used to be the only component of well-being, but there's four others. And the happiness one is just create as much happiness during the day as you can. That's the easy one. Just develop as much happiness throughout the day as possible. The second one is you need to be engaged in life. Engaged in life just simply means you know what you're doing, you know where you're going, and you know what you want at all times. It's fairly straightforward. That means engaged in life. And it doesn't mean buried in a cell phone or buried in a mobile device when you're out with people, when out with dinner or something. Share people's lives, and that's what being engaged in life is. And in a workplace, a leader who is engaged with their employees, it's just a so much better situation. Engaged in life. That's number two.
And what's number three?
And number three is you need meaning in your life. And that's meaning in your life is very old-fashioned. It just means something outside yourself. Volunteer work, working the community work, helping a friend. Develop meaning in your life that is outside of your day-to-day activity. It gives a feeling of well-being.
And number four?
Well, actually, it turns out four is an easy one, too. Four is accomplishments. Now, this has been added to well-being. Well-being at first was just happiness, and then those other two were added as far as being engaged in life, as far as meaning. And then someone said, well, we need to add accomplishments to that feeling of well-being. And this is little ones, just throughout the day, little accomplishments, finishing up a project or talking to someone or any little positive accomplishment, it makes you feel good. It sends a little dopamine to the nucleus accumbens, the pleasure center, which we can talk about. But that's number four, is just these little accomplishments throughout the day.
And number five, the final.
Now, the number five. Here's where leaders, to be a good leader, an effective leader, you need to have some basic things. And the first one is making decisions. That's what leaders do. That's what we all do. Make decisions and make them fast. The worst thing people can do is not make a decision. If you make a good decision, that's fine. You move forward. If you make a bad decision, you fix it. But have to make a decision. And the second thing about being an effective leader is communication. It's just old-fashioned as anything but communication. And this is where this fifth one comes in, is what I call positive social communication. And for examples, you can respond four ways to another person's statement or reaction. For example, a spouse comes home all excited about a meeting that they had, and they planned a big, exciting conference or a big, exciting party with all kinds of people, all kinds of events, and they want to tell a spouse about it, and the spouse has four responses to that. The best is to get excited about it. Who's going to be there? Share the excitement. The second sort of passive way is to say, oh, that's nice, and go about the business. But there's two responses that are destructive. They do more harm than good. The third, the one response, a bad one, is one up the other person. While you were having fun, I was slaving away, working, and how much is that going to cost, and that sort of thing. That just destroys the other person. Another way to do it is to say, well, while you were at that meeting, I had a more exciting thing happen to me. So that type of thing. So it's positive social interaction. In a positive way, when you meet other people at the store, or the restaurant, or work, it's a positive response. Both people end up with a positive feeling.
So where did these five come from?
Well, they, as I said, originally, for the past 50 years, 100 years, well-being has been known as a measure, a global measure of people's happiness and success and so forth. And then Professor Seligman down at UPenn, psychologist, started actually working on that. That's what he took on as his life project, is well-being. And he developed these other four. And that's really the origin of it.
You know, from this information that you gathered from this gentleman, did you find that you needed to tweak it, to modify? How did you put it together into this grouping?
Well, I put it together this way because as I've taken care of patients, I discovered a disease several years ago. It's a lung disease. It's inflammatory lung disease called BOOP, B-O-O-P, BOOP, like Betty Boop. But it's a bronchiolitis obliterans organizing pneumonia. It's a long word, but it just means inflammation in the lungs, in the airways. And as I was taking care of these patients from virtually all over the world, the ones that do best have these five traits. They maximize these five traits, and then they maximize these 10 health practices we're going to talk about. But that's how I put the grouping together. I just realized that the people that do best have these five traits and use them.
So when you're looking at an individual and saying, hey, you know, this is something that can really help you, how do you get them to buy in? Because, you know, I'm looking at the fact that happiness makes sense, engage in life makes sense, meaning in life, accomplishments, all this makes sense, but you know what? Sometimes life doesn't work so simply.
Well, that's the big question, David. Of course, that's the big thing. This is what helps. This is the what part of it. But then the question is, how do you get people to do this? Because if you do these five things, your life is going to be better. There's just no question about it. And how you get people to do it, number one, of course, you have to tell people about it. You're just sort of an educational component. You have to realize that these five components are there and that they can really help you. And then it's just a matter of doing it, and it becomes sustainable. It becomes self-sustainable if you practice them. Certainly, this positive social interaction, if you engage in people in a positive way, it makes you feel good, makes the other person feel good, and that gets registered in your prefrontal cortex. So the next time you do it again, because it does make you feel good and it's sustainable. And that's how you get people to do it. You just do it. You have to tell people about it. And then once you tell people about it, just follow them, write them down, memorize them, whatever it takes. But just do them. And when you get into problems, we all have problems. We have catastrophes that happen to us almost on a daily basis. And these five things, you just look at them, and it'll help you get back on track instead of sort of being miserable for weeks and weeks. You'll be miserable for a few minutes or a few hours, and so that's how you use them. You just keep referring to them.
We're talking with Dr. Gary Epler, and we're talking about how to effectively compete in today's demanding business environment. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Flagg, General Manager of the Body Architect Fitness Center in Portland, Maine. I want to personally invite you to come meet us. If you've been considering joining a gym but haven't yet because you're a little nervous or just plain old don't like the gym, come see us. We have created a 30-day personal training experience just for you. Meet our trainers, try a few workouts, and use our facility for 30 days for just $79. Call 774-2196 or visit thebodyarchitect.com today.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and presented by cmacareer.com. and maine.dalecarnegie.com. Today, our guest is Gary Epler, MD and CEO of Epler Health Incorporated, down in Wesley, Massachusetts, and we're talking about how to effectively compete in today's demanding business environment. I'm your host, David Chuglo, and you know, Gary, this topic, which is so relevant for today's business leader, is something that, you know, I mean, you said in the last section, we were talking about the, you know, the well-being, and there's five segments. You talk about happiness, engaged in life, a new meaning in your life, accomplishments and making decisions, or positive social. You know, I hear you say, just do it. But leaders sometimes need to be talked and developed and to understand the value of it. How do you get a person to morph and change their behavior?
Well, we talked about that before, how you get people to do this, change behavior. And the first step is knowledge, is to just know these five elements, and then and then practice them, and they become sustainable. The other thing you need, we need to get into these 10 health practices, because you need to have an open mindset. You have to have your mind open to practicing these five components, and the way you have that open mind is to these 10 health practices, which we're going to talk about. And there's three of them: nutrition, sleep, and exercise. Good old-fashioned three will help create that environment.
Let's get into the 10. And what I'd like to do, obviously, is let's go through each one. And if you could provide to us, as you know, in the audience, an example of each one, right, how it can be used, and an example you've seen with an individual who has really adopted that health practice and why it's so important. So let's start with, what's the first one of the 10?
Well, the first one, David, is you got to love life. Life is here to enjoy. It really is, and you got to love it. And the story with this one is my friend John. Work out with him every morning. And he had a little abdominal upset 15 years ago. It turned out to be a kidney cancer. Had his kidney taken out. 10 years later, he got a little abdominal discomfort, and it was a pancreas cancer. I mean, here the guy had the most deadly cancer there is, and he had that sort of cut out. And then 2 years ago, he said, you know, I've got some spots in my lung. And he's about 60 then, and those spots were the tumor from the kidney way back 15 years previously. And he said, well, do I get taken out or do I chemotherapy, radiation, whatever? And he said, he loved life, this guy, loved life. He just couldn't wait to get up in the morning to see his family and to work out, see his friends, and to go to work. He just loved everything about the day. And he says, well, I'm going to get those cut out, even though it's very risky. He had the surgery. He had 22 of those things cut out. He survived the surgery, but then had a complication, got pneumonia. Then he had a massive heart attack, was put on ECMO, which is that machine to keep your heart going. Then his kidney, he only had one of them, failed. And he had a chance now of about 1 out of 100,000 surviving. And then he had a stroke, and he had blood clots. His chances were 1 in a million. We saw him about this time, it was 3 or 4 weeks into it. He looked like a corpse. But his subconscious mind was still in there. His spirit was still there. And he had all the prayers in the world. He had all the skills, the technology in the world that would be the best, but he needed one more thing. And he loved life. He wanted to live. And that's really what it was. He did live. He survived that. And the whole reason was is because he loved life. And that's what love of life is all about.
Well, you know, that's so true. You got to start with a base, right? You got to start with the fact that each and every day we have to remember that we're here for a very short time and we have to enjoy each and every day. So I think that's a mindset, right? I mean, that's truly mindset. A mindset that you have to start the day out with. And so I couldn't agree with you more that you've got to love life. What's number two in terms of the health practices?
All right, number two, three, and four are together because it's eat, sleep, and exercise. I mean, we've heard about these since forever, since the dawn of time. You've got to do these. And nutrition, let's start with eating. The main thing that I've come across from eating, all of the things that I've learned, is you do not want to eat food that's going to harm you. And it turns out that there's a lot of foods out there that will harm us. And the three big ones are foods with added sugar, foods with added salt, and foods with what I call processed omega-6 fats. And stories are related to this is the added sugar causes inflammation. And inflammation causes inflammation of the arteries specifically and everywhere else in the body, but that causes heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, strokes, and cancer. And inflammation basically almost causes all diseases now. It used to in the old days, used to be infections and things, but now inflammation is a cause of almost all of our diseases. Sugar is the number one cause of inflammation, added sugar. Naturally occurring sugar in an apple or orange isn't going to hurt, but it's the added sugar, and there are literally almost a ton of sugar we eat a year. It's really a huge amount of sugar. So that's number one. Number two is salt. Salt does the same thing, causes inflammation. The more salt a person has, the more chance of getting these inflammatory diseases. The third one is those omega-6 fats. Now, we've heard about omega-3. That's a healthy one. It is. It's an anti-inflammatory one. It's one of these unsaturated fats. They're very good for you. And omega-6 is also something we need, but we get too much of it. And what I mean by processed omega-6, it's what is found in processed foods and boxes of foods, in overprepared foods, in mixtures of foods, and specifically in farm-raised fish and farm-raised cattle and eggs and chickens. All of those have way too much processed omega-6 inflammation. And so that's the key about inflammation. Just try to absolutely avoid or keep at a minimum added sugar, added salt, processed omega-6.
Well, you know, that's a challenge sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, huge challenge. start. One person at a time. That's all I can do.
No, there's no question. But I get it. It's certainly the food itself is part of the challenge because of its I've noticed it. I'm sure you have. The healthier the food, the more expensive it is.
It is.
And that's an amazing concept when you really think about it.
It is.
Okay, so you said eating.
I'm trying to do something about that. But sleep. Here's the story with sleep. You need 8 hours, David. Eight, not six, and not ten. And every time I give the lectures and talk about this, people run up to me and say, oh, I only need 5 hours. You know, they brag about 5 hours. Well, they can brag all they want. It is not healthy. It is not the way to do things. You need eight. Yes, that person can get to six, but they're only running about 60% of their performance. It's lousy to go through life at 60% of your performance. I want to go through 100%. I want to go peak performance at all times. You need 8 hours. Here's the reason. Number one is we have an adenosine energy chemical, and during the day that runs short in the brain. It just runs out. It's the way it is. And you need 8 hours to charge it back up. Six isn't enough. You're not going to have enough for the next day. And ten's too much. And the second reason is REM sleep. That's rapid eye movement sleep. That's a little dreaming. When you're dreaming, your eyes are bouncing back and forth. You need 2 hours of that. And the trick is, it doesn't equalize the whole night. It only occurs during the last 2 hours of those 8 hours of sleep. So you've got to get 8 hours. If you don't get your REM sleep, you're just, again, not going to function peak performance. 8 hours, David.
Well, I'd love to say I get 8 hours, but that's not what I get. So as I think about it, I do feel better when I get more sleep.
Well, David, you could be at 100% if you get those 8 hours.
Right, I will work on it. My producer's over here going, I get nine. And
yeah,
so
well,
yeah, she's
nine,
doing better.
Nine's better, but actually eight is even better. You can hack too much, too. But the little trick to that, David, you can take a 10-minute, 12-minute nap without any problem. Do not take more than 15-minute nap. Because then it messes you up for the rest of the day.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. I do know that if I fall asleep for like 10 minutes or so, I'm fine. You hit 20, yeah, you're completely groggy and you're a mess.
Oh, you're a mess. You don't want to fall, especially watching TV. Do not fall asleep watching TV. Let's talk about exercise. All right?
Yes, let's talk about
exercise.
It. Yes.
Here's my story with exercise.
Well, I just questioning. I mean, I've been getting up in the morning and lying down at night and doing one complete sit-up. Is that exercise you're talking about?
Nope.
All right, how about 10 and 8-ounce curls? Is that exercise?
You're getting there.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about with, you know, maybe a cocktail or something. But that's all I'm asking. Just asking the question there. That's all, Gary.
Exercise, yeah, but there's a name for that exercise.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Drinking too much.
Yeah.
Any rate, the exercise, the three things about exercise. Number one, it's the best in the world for giving you energy. I told you, in order to survive nowadays in this competitive environment, you got to have energy, and you have to have a ton of it. And it gives you a load of energy. Number two, great for stress. It really relieves the stress. You're all stressed out. It calms you down. And there's about another 100 reasons, but there's a real interesting one. You might meet your spouse. All right?
Wow, that's an interesting...
That's an interesting one. I was training for the New York Marathon many years ago, running along the Charles River in Boston, and I saw someone coming my direction, and that was my future wife, Joan. I made the U-turn. And history since then. We've run together since then. As a matter of fact, we went running this morning. And it's a great way to actually meet other people. And it turns out when your heart rate goes up, we all know that when you fall in love, your heart rate goes up. But it turns out when your heart rate goes up, you might fall in love with the person you're next to. And so exercising together, the heart rate goes up, the endorphins go up, the alpha brain waves kick in, and then the best thing is this bonding hormone, oxytocin, kicks in. So exercise together, you might fall in love.
Well, you know, on that note, it's a perfect time to take a break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Flagg, General Manager of the Body Architect Fitness Center in Portland, Maine. I want to personally invite you to come meet us. If you've been considering joining a gym but haven't yet because you're a little nervous or just plain old don't like the gym, come see us. We have created a 30-day personal training experience just for you. Meet our trainers, try a few workouts, and use our facility for 30 days for just $79. Call 774-2196 or visit thebodyarchitect.com today.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs and ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. Today, we're having a great time talking with Gary Epler, MD, CEO of Epler Health Incorporated, and we are talking about how to effectively compete in today's demanding business environment. I'm your host, David Chulo, and we have been talking with him about 10 health practices that make a big difference in your well-being. Big difference. And that is how you effectively compete today. Gary, we've talked about the 10 health practices. We're at number 4. We've talked about love life, eat, sleep, and exercise. What's number 5?
Here we go with number 5. It's a real simple one. Learn something new every day. And nobody likes to take tests. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than taking a test. But people love to learn. Really do. Everybody loves to learn. It's just kind of innate. And so do it. Learn something new. And the best thing is something completely different from what you do. Take a philosophy course. Take dancing lessons. Just anything that's different, but learn something. And here's what happens. Number one, it makes you feel good. Number two, It balances out your brain a little bit because it gets you away from thinking about one thing all the time. And number three is you might like it. It happened to me. Swimming is we all learn how to swim as kids, but I wanted to do a triathlon 2 or 3 years ago. And my swimming was fair, but it wasn't good enough for a triathlon, and so I found a coach. And it's kind of embarrassing. Here you have to take swimming lessons as an adult. But I did. And I didn't really like swimming. I couldn't imagine swimming back and forth in laps. But I learned how. I learned to crawl. I learned freestyle. And I learned it the right way. And I absolutely love it now. Two times a week, I do my laps. And I absolutely enjoy it. And I never thought in a million years I would ever enjoy swimming. And it's to learn something new. You'll be surprised.
That seems so easy to do because we're all learning something every day, right? And that keeps life interesting. So I think that's a great one. What's number 6?
Yeah, number 6, I call it alpha brainwave time. We have 4 or 5 brainwaves in our brain at all times. Not at all times, but it there's a different one at each time. For example, right now we're talking, it's in beta brainwave. And then when you go to sleep, real deep sleep, it's stage four, it's delta, which is only 4 or 5 cycles per second. But then we have alpha and theta. And alpha is dream time. You're dreaming, and it's about 10 cycles per second, and then theta is a little deeper. And it turns out if you can be awake and be in these alpha and theta brainwave states, all kinds of things happen, and it's called meditation. And, for example, alpha, that's an easy one. You can go into alpha pretty easily with your eyes open. I do eyes open meditation opposed to sitting. I can't sit that long, and I just do hyper. But I do it on the treadmill, actually. But you can do it walking. It's daydreaming. The benefits, number one, it's very calming. Number two, it brings up these endorphins again, these feel-good transmitters that we've talked about, dopamine, endorphin. And three, it's an interesting one in that it actually increases the length of the telomeres at the end of the chromosomes. Every time your cell divides, these little things get shorter, and eventually they don't work after about 150 divisions. And meditation actually increases the life, and it's great. I do just a few minutes every day. I do 10-15 minutes a day, and the other thing it does, it balances out these realms in your brain. You have three or four that are always actively competing to take over. Prefrontal cortex is the best one. That's your judgmental one, but the amygdala is the anger center. And that would just love to take over all the time. And then, of course, you have the accumbens, which is the pleasure center. And it also would love to take over all of the time. But the prefrontal lobe, you've got to keep healthy because it's a little sensitive. It requires the sleep, exercise, and nutrition. And meditation keeps this also healthy. If that prefrontal lobe goes down, offline, from no sleep, junk food, alcohol, the amygdala takes over, and you really don't want that to happen.
No, I would think not. what's number seven?
All right. Number seven and eight are together. Seven is compassion, and eight is gratitude. Compassion is an interesting word. It's a very strong word, compassion for yourself and compassion for other people. And monks will just meditate all day long about compassion for years, and you can approach these people and feel that within a mile. It's a very powerful thing to have, is a feeling, is compassion, especially for yourself when things get down. For example, self-esteem, we always say, oh, we have to have high self-esteem. I'll tell you, high self-esteem will let you down is the minute things go bad. When you're down in the dumps, when everything's going wrong, self-esteem is gone, but compassion still there. So when you're down the next time, be compassionate for yourself. It'll really help.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because most people think of compassion as compassion for others. And you're really talking about compassion for yourself, and that's a very interesting thought process.
Yeah, and it helps. It really gets you through some bad times, and we all have those, David.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah. So gratitude's the same. Gratitude, just be grateful for what we have, and it's just anything. I mean, just old-fashioned being alive, breathing in and out, and having a heart going is sometimes enough for me. Way I use this is, again, maybe you get down, you wake up, you got the blahs, or maybe even depressed for a few minutes or something. Just start saying, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this, grateful for that. Grateful for a house, for a car, for a job, for making money, for anything. And all of a sudden, you know, oh, geez, you know, why be depressed? You have too many things to be grateful for. It's a great thing to be.
No, and I don't think we do enough about that, right? We forget how lucky we are, especially here.
Oh,
And, you know, people do forget how grateful we are for what we have.
Yeah.
Especially in this world of we need more all the time.
Oh, right? That's there's plenty out there. There's plenty of everything. We don't have to take away anything from anybody else.
That we call that a lot an abundance mentality versus a scarcity mentality. Right? In terms of that thought process.
Exactly right. The last one, we have a few more minutes.
Yeah, we have two more. Self-healing and be true to yourself, correct?
Self-healing is, David, we don't do enough of this. Number one, we probably don't do enough of it because we don't know we can. And we don't know how. But, you know, we've developed computers now who can heal themselves. I mean, gee, we had to do it for ourselves. And there's so many things we can do. The first thing is to learn everything you can about whatever it is you're facing, whether it's a disease, whether it's a cancer, whether it's diabetes, or an injury to your leg or something. Do the research. Learn about it. The more you learn, the better it's going to be. And then the second is options of treating that. What are the options? There's surgery, there's medicines, there's all kinds of different options, and one of them you have to find out about is, what if you don't do anything? This is called the natural history, because it'll give you a baseline. It'll tell you what's going on. Sometimes you don't need to do anything. And so that's some basic things for this self-healing, is just learning about situation. And then the other one is approach it in a positive way. Approach this as, I can manage this. And David, all you need to do is be able to manage it. You may not be able to heal it, may not be able to heal that cancer, the high blood pressure, diabetes, but if you can manage it, you can live. And that's what it's all about. Manage that in your mind. Just say, yes, I can manage this. Maybe I don't know how right now, but I'm going to learn how to manage this situation. And that's so much part of healing. And then you can get specific. Specific things are breathing will help. Breathing in and out equally. It's called yoga breathing, a square breathing. Use belly breath. These are breathing with your belly. Your belly goes out and in. It goes out with a breathing in. Belly breaths. And then visualization. Visualization of visualizing breathing in healing energy to the spot that is the problem. And you can even start to visualize moving the diseased cells away, the dysfunctional cells, and bringing in healthy cells and repairing DNA and igniting genes that need to help defend that process. So that's self-healing.
Well, you know, that is so key to success with your positive energy and positive thinking, right? I mean, that's what it's really about, is understanding that if you are positive, you know, the power of positive thinking, you can really look at yourself and focus on that self-healing. We're going to pause here on the HR Power Hour as we get ready to go in the last segment, and we're going to tell you about number 10 of the health practices when we're right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Kelly Flagg, General Manager of the Body Architect Fitness Center in Portland, Maine. I want to personally invite you to come meet us. If you've been considering joining a gym but haven't yet because you're a little nervous or just plain old don't like the gym, come see us. We have created a 30-day personal training experience just for you. Meet our trainers, try a few workouts, and use our facility for 30 days for just $79. Call 774-2196 or visit thebodyarchitect.com today.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today we're talking about how to effectively compete in today's demanding business environment. We're talking with Dr. Gary Epler, CEO of Epler Health Incorporated. And today, Gary, we've been talking about well-being. And just a little recap, we talked about the five components being happiness, engaged in life, meaning in life, accomplishments, and positive social interaction. And you say to do that through 10 health practices: love life, nutrition, sleep, exercise, learn something new, alpha brainwave meditation time, compassion, gratitude, self-healing, and the last one, which we're going to talk about right now, be true to yourself.
Yeah, this one, it's good that we're finishing up with this one, because you mentioned what's changed in the past 10 years or so. And this is changed in people. You need to be your true self. When we're in grade school, we're sort of what our parents tell us what to be, and our teachers. And we go to high school, and again, the teachers. We kind of what we are not ourselves. We're what the teachers want us to be, what our fellow students want us to be. And then you get into college, and the professors want you to be. And then you go to work, and a company wants you to be a certain way. And then society wants you to be a certain way. And then along the line, people, and this is what has changed so much, people come up in their mind, they develop this person that they want to be, and this person is so perfect in every way, makes a perfect amount of money, has perfect titles, has perfect social setting, and it's just this impossible person in people's mind. And they compare themselves to that. And they say, well, I'm not that person. I can't be that person. And it leads to frustration, leads to anger, and just bad behavior. And people need to be themselves. It's absolutely a wonderful feeling, best feeling in the world. You have total freedom once you become yourself. And it may take time. It's not going to happen in somebody's in their 20s. It's not going to happen. But 30s, 40s, unfortunately, it may not happen. 30s, 40s, you hope it does. But maybe, but somewhere along the line, you've got to discover yourself. And for me, I discovered a parasite in medical school. I discovered a disease out of medical school. And somewhere along the line, I discovered myself. And I got to tell you, David, the best thing in the world. It gives you so much freedom. Your freedom from guilt. You're free from blaming. You don't need to blame anybody. Your freedom from criticizing. You don't need to criticize. You just don't need to do that. Excuses. You don't need to make any excuses. It's yourself. Your decisions are yours. They're always good decisions. The outcome may not be so good sometimes, but you fix them. And being yourself allows you to go on and just lead a great life. And so, David, that is so key, especially now, because I just have a sense that so many people are not themselves. You hear them make decisions, and their decisions are based on conditioning decisions, like what they get from media, what they get from something else. They're not their own decisions, and you need to be yourself.
No, you summarized that very well. And I think that, you know, today's discussion about how to effectively compete in today's demanding business environment really does take care of itself if you take care of yourself first.
Exactly.
Right? You, as we wrap up the show today, and we have about a minute left, I see that you've written four health books, critically acclaimed You're the Boss series. Tell the audience about those quickly and maybe where they can find them.
Well, those books are about how to manage a disease. This is a good one. And I'm writing one right now. It's at the editor's, and it's going to be about these 15 elements and being yourself. But these can all be found in Amazon or at EplerHealth.com, E-P-L-E-R, health.com. And you can always send me a note. We'd love to answer.
Well, Dr. Gary Epler is an internationally known Harvard Medical School professor. And you know what? He's also a thought leader in this area. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, Gary.
Well, David, it's just really been great talking with you, and you're going to have a phenomenal day today.
You know what? We're going to make it so. Dr. Gary Epler, thank you for being on the show. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
People question why so many of the women now raising concerns about the behavior of business leaders, politicians, and celebrities did not come forward sooner. Hi, this is Doug Currier from Veral Dana. We've been involved in many harassment cases in which the complainant did not speak up until after quitting or only after a long history of repeated abuse. Why did they not speak up when the behavior was occurring? There are several reasons for this, all very legitimate and frankly, quite disturbing. Four main reasons. First, there is a fear of not being believed. Second, there's a fear of retaliation. Third, there are feelings of embarrassment. And fourth, the fear of being trivialized. This begs the question, what can we do to make our employees feel more comfortable sharing any concerns they may have? First, try to find out if your employees have concerns about speaking up. What precisely are they afraid of? Second, initiate one-on-one informal conversations, which should help your employees feel safer about broaching uncomfortable topics. Third, create a culture where employees feel that speaking up is not only a right, but part of their responsibility in making the company a better place. I encourage you to contact a member of Veral and Dana's Labor and Employment Law Group if you have a question about this or any other concern impacting your workplace.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VeralDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBRadio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.